from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is a fresh Friday heading into the long Memorial Day holiday weekend, and I hope all of you are staying safe. And if you're going anywhere, heading out anywhere, I hope that you don't encounter anyone with a bad mood. They're taking along a bad mood with them. I hope everything is all calm and smooth. And like I said, G and Ursula Show listeners, they'll take a deep breath before they do anything crazy. So just hang in there, because I know there are going to be long lines everywhere. G is off today. Jake Skorheim is in. So fun to have you
in. We've been having a good time
today.
Yes,
we sure have. Okay, question. Should you be able to have a raccoon as a pet? So the reason we're bringing this question up is because something really wacky happened at a Petco, and we're going to talk about that and some other animal news coming up at 11:30, because, hey, it is a fresh Friday. But right now, it is time for our Agree to Disagree segment, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Well, students at Aki Kurozi Middle School got an early start to their Memorial Day weekend, and they won't be coming back, at least in person, next week after the holiday. They will be learning from home. So a student tested positive for measles. So administrators shut the school down today so that teachers could prepare to teach remotely next week. Now, Ursula, we have a little bit of experience with remote learning and keeping the kids at home. And I think for a lot of parents, this is kind of a nightmarish refresh on that process. The question is, do you shut down a whole school for one case? Measles is very, very contagious.
Can I ask, what is measles again? What does it look like?
So it's an acute viral respiratory illness. A lot of times it is characterized by a really high fever. You can get a rash all over your body. You can get like conjunctivitis.
Is there dots on it? Or is that chicken pox I'm thinking
of? No. Chicken pox is, different. But you can get those splotchy, like a rash.
It can be like a horrific rash, like all over your body. Not
bad
just
cough.
It's nasty.
These are things parents should know. I don't know these things.
Yeah, it is very, very contagious.
Okay.
Okay, so the question is, and you know, crazy me, I actually read some comments because I was curious as to how people would react
to
this, right? Because they're not just shutting it down. So Monday's already a holiday, but they're going to make it remote learning for the rest of the week.
All of next week, yes.
And I knew that there would be people like, oh my gosh, this is such an overreaction. But this is based on advice from epidemiologists. And I'm sorry, call me crazy, but I still believe in epidemiologists and scientists.
You're crazy.
And if the health department says this would be the prudent thing to do because it is highly contagious. And by the way, I did vaccinate my kids for MMR, so both boys got it.
Sure.
All worked out. I mean, the unfortunate reality is that there are some parents who don't believe in getting those vaccines.
I just looked up how contagious it is. Yeah. If you are exposed to somebody with measles, 9 out of 10 people will get measles.
There you go.
So it's a pretty contagious thing.
Yeah, so I completely agree with the school.
So one kid in the school, is that what happened? One kid in the school got it, and now they're saying the entire school has to shut down.
Yep.
And go remote.
And go remote.
Yeah,
just for a week,
for
though.
For a week.
Correct.
Okay. So you think that they should shut them down?
But it's based on the advice as being prudent. And yes, I agree. It's very inconvenient.
This is really tough for me because my instinct is not to shut the schools down.
Yes.
But I also don't want my kids to get measles.
Sick, right?
In situations like this, I usually leave the decision up to my wife.
Yeah.
And so let me call her and ask what she would do.
Oh, that's real safe.
Phone a friend.
Get her on the line.
What's her number?
What should I? Yeah, let me just say that out loud. What should they do? Chef, do you think that they should shut the school down?
Yeah, probably. But if I'm a parent, I'm not happy about it.
No, you're not.
I'm not happy about it at all.
So you have to get daycare, right?
Yeah, you have to get daycare. Or, if you're one of the people that has to split your PTO time with your vacation, then, there goes your plans for August because I'm staying home with the kids. And I would be upset because, hey, guess what? Like, my kids got vaccinated. Most kids are vaccinated. I think it's like 95% of kids in the Seattle school districts have their vaccinations up to date. And if you have a vaccination against measles, it's like 97% effective.
You've swayed me. I think they should not shut the school down.
So, I mean, look, I understand wanting to shut the school down, but like if a kid can show that they have their vaccination record, they weren't in close contact with the kid, and I understand contact tracing is a problem and it's a pain, but just open a separate classroom to at least have some of the kids to go to, because this creates a major crimp.
It does.
For every family in that school.
And maybe that would be the thing. But okay, so let's get it down because I want to be real clear.
Yeah.
So I say yes. They should go remote, you know, for as long as the, you know, so a couple of days, it sounds like it's an additional 4 days, which is a pain. Maybe have some options for those who test, you know, negative or I mean, how would you know, though?
Well, I guess I don't know what the incubation time is for measles exposure. It can live on surfaces and stuff for about 2 days. So, you know, technically the environment should be fine after 2 days. But you don't know if there's been a kid who then infects another kid who then infects another kid. Yeah. Because like Jake, you're saying it's one of the most contagious viruses that we've ever seen. The average person who gets measles infects 18 to 20 other people. That's the R-naught number. Yeah. COVID was like 1 to 1.5.
How about this is a compromise? People can make their own decisions. And so maybe like a lot of times when schools were back in session and a lot of school districts opened back up, people said, well, we're still not comfortable sending our kids back to school. So we're going to have them continue their education from home.
Yeah.
So people can just keep their kids home for a week if you're really worried about it.
But that's the unfortunate thing is teachers don't want to work if they're going to be exposed to measles.
Yeah, that too.
So how are you going to deal with that?
Well,
so again, I would try to minimize the disruption as much as possible. But in this case, I think they did the prudent thing.
Okay, let's skip on over to Denver. Russell Wilson had the worst season of his career after he moved out of Seattle last year. I think that was kind of delicious for a lot of us here in Seattle. Well, now if you look at the headlines coming out of Denver, it's a noticeably thinner Russell Wilson says he's excited to play again. By the way, this is a sign that an athlete has had a bad season. When you start hearing the springtime reports that they're, quote, in the best shape of their life, that means, hey, fans, you might actually want to watch this year. Are we still rooting for this guy to fail, or are we over it, Ursula?
Okay, I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm over it. Okay, 1 year after the fact, I get it. Okay, he was a weasel when he left, and he wasn't fully honest about, you know, what happened, that what precipitated his departure, etc. So, yeah, I wasn't rooting for him. But he's okay. Now, how long do we continue with that?
Forever. That's how long. In my own little friend group, on our text exchanges and our group texts and our WhatsApps and all that stuff, every time there was a negative Russell Wilson article or somebody from the Denver Post or somebody in Denver was writing a story lamenting, what are we doing with this guy? We'd send it back and forth and we'd all laugh because it's fun. You know, that guy came up in Seattle. We all loved him so much. Nobody rooted for anybody more than Seattleites rooted for Russell Wilson. For the whole region, not just Seattleites. Everybody in Washington was rooting for Russell Wilson. And then he goes to Denver and he starts posting these videos. That was the other part. The social media stuff that he would post.
Let's ride.
He would try to get all these catchphrases. He got noticeably plumper. Obviously, he was enjoying some of his celebrity, but he was also posting videos of like slow-mo.
I didn't even notice that part.
You didn't notice that he got a little thick?
The Russell Wilson dad bod, I think, was the running meme.
Okay. He got a little heavy. Yeah. He got a little heavy. Anyway, but Russell Wilson would post these videos where it would be like him looking very GQ, walking into the stadium, slow-mo, just of him. And it's just like his own posting. And it would be a 30-second shot of him slow walking into the thing with some aviators on. That's just gross. People shouldn't do that. And
there's a point where it goes too far, is what you're saying.
Well, the guy that we all got to know was a gym rat who liked to just play football. He was in sweats. He'd show up to the thing.
He wouldn't even stop on the plane on the flights, right?
His high knees after the loss.
Exactly, probably like annoying everyone on the plane. So that he was on the other spectrum of things. But now he's doing these very annoying celebrity things, and I just think we can root against this guy for a very long time.
For the rest of his life, for the rest of his career? I just feel
easily.
Like,
easily.
Yeah, I don't know.
Statute of limitations.
I'm over it. I'm with you, Ursula. You know what? I think if you were still sending around like the Russell Wilson stories in the group text, you need to get over it, man. It's been a year.
No.
Like, how long after breaking up with someone are you still checking on their Instagram story?
No, that's different.
Look, man,
that's different.
The girl is gone. Let her go. You can laugh about her, like, hooking up with that loser after you. But after a year, let it go. Move on with your own life. Like, if you aren't satisfied with who you have now in Geno Smith, then move on to someone else.
I think
stop focusing on the old girl.
I think we're better than
I'm not better than that.
Brian from Arlington says, I think Russ has been beaten up enough. As long as he tones down the whole social media thing, maybe give him a break.
He's
I'm
bringing
with you,
it on upon himself. So if he stops doing the social media thing, maybe we can give him some grace. But even saying that, it feels false. I'm going to vote against him.
You know what? I think
you're
there's a lot of people who are with you.
I know.
Really with you. The sense of betrayal you feel, right? I remember that feeling when Ken Griffey Jr. moved to Cincinnati, and I was like,
but
crushed.
He had a ton of family there. His dad played there. That made more sense to me. I think he was even from
and
there.
He didn't lie. I never liked A-Rod after A-Rod left.
Same kind of deal.
Is he a weasel? Is he a mink? What is he? Some other mustelid, Ursula? All right. Moving down to Federal Way, where on Thursday, apparently an exploding solo wheel or a unicycle. You've seen these things. Kids ride them around. It's like a skateboard with a wheel in the middle.
It's got a little electric engine on it.
Yes.
A lot of times.
The battery, the lithium ion battery in that exploded in a hallway, sent a fireball 25 feet in radius. They had to shut down the school. They gave the kids fire hats and everything. I'm sure it was very exciting for a lot of the kids. No one was injured. But Jacob brings up the question, you're a dad. I'm a dad. Kids have a lot more options these days when it comes to transportation. It's not just bikes. They have the motorized scooters. Yep. They've got the little solo wheels.
Yep.
Would you give your kids, I know you're not going to do phones, would you give your kids an electric means of conveyance, like a scooter or a solo wheel?
So I'm not going to give my kid a phone, correct? And I wouldn't give them an electric unicycle because I don't want them to be dorks.
Okay. Wait, hold up.
Yep.
You don't want them to be dorks?
You know who the best judge of dorkdom is? Dad. Dad's always the best judge.
That's true, because dads know what's cool. No, you're absolutely right. No, there's a couple of people in my neighborhood who live a little bit north of me. I'm sorry, who live north of Seattle, but they drive these along the side of the road. And these are grown men who are riding these things the time.
I look at him and I go, God, that's cool.
So what he does to get around traffic is this, and this is actually, I don't know if this is ingenious or just too far, but he rides this thing every single day, and he has you know those hiking lights that you wear?
The headlamp.
The headlamp. He has a headlamp that's as bright, it's a LED thing, and it's as bright as a car, and so he looks like he's got a headlight on his forehead, but then on his back, he has a brake light. And so when he slows down, he's
safety first.
It is safety first, but it's also a little much.
What do you mean it's a little much? It takes up like a foot of the road.
No, he's on a walking path. He's even on the road. He's just on the walking path with headlights.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a grown man should not be riding a unicycle unless he's
in the circus.
Okay.
In the circus.
No unicycle.
Exactly.
No phones, did you say no hoverboards, no...
I would...
Is this boy in a plastic bubble?
No. I just want them to... I want my kids primarily to spend their childhood like I did, which is in extreme boredom, because it's going to build up a lot of,
character.
Imagination and character, and it's going to cause them to have to do things on their own. Electric scooters. We were talking about this earlier.
We were.
Would you let your kids have electric scooters?
I did not buy them. They wanted them desperately. And I said, if you save your money, you can. But the only way I'm going to allow you to have one is if you wear a helmet, course.
Yeah.
That doesn't go over real well. So my youngest son finally did get one in college. He bought it on his own.
Kids just have too much stuff these days. They have way too much cool stuff. It's way too fun.
I know. They're so entitled.
They are entitled. Absolutely.
I remember my dad wouldn't let me get a skateboard because he said it was too dangerous. And I thought he was ridiculous.
And now as a dad?
I thought he was being absolutely ridiculous. And now as a dad, I kind of sympathize. I'm like, I look at that thing and I don't see fun. I see a hospital bill.
Skateboard.
I see a really expensive.
Yeah,
well, yeah. If you think a skateboard's dangerous, how about putting a motor on it? Instead of having four wheels, it has one. Does that seem like a good idea?
And didn't we just talk about a story where they catch on fire? Right?
Correct.
Yeah. I think the point is proven.
Yes. Trevor says, I'm 47 years old and I would love a $2,000 one wheel. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, one wheel, solo wheel. I think unicycle is... don't know why they use that term.
I wonder what the statistics are on people who ride a unicycle who don't, who are not in a relationship.
Oh, stop.
It's probably pretty high.
I think there might be a decent percent who also have a DUI, and that is now their means of conveyance.
Oh, good grief.
Potentially.
True.
Or they're just environmentalists.
Or,
who like looking cool.
What? They just enjoy having fun in life, and they don't care about looking dorky. They like being themselves.
To each his own.
To each his own.
Yeah, to each his own.
Yeah,
yeah. God bless them.
Okay, still ahead. We're going to be talking about raccoons. We're going to be talking about, what was the other animal? We already talked about bears.
Whales.
We're going to talk about whales.
Yeah. We can, because G's not here.
Okay, exactly.
I love whales.
Do not open this next segment saying, I don't care about whales.
No, I won't.
Or, I'm bored with this topic. Okay, so we're going to make it fun. This is the G and Ursula Show with Jake Skorheim. This is the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. G is off. Jake Skorheim is in. And now we are going into our animal segment. And we're going to start with whales and talking about Tokatay specifically, the famous southern resident killer whale who was taken from Puget Sound more than 50 years ago. Now, her former managers and trainers are being very vocal in saying that they don't think it's a good idea to bring her back home. Tokatay, or Lolita, has been living in a tank at the Miami Seaquarium, where Heather Keenan was manager of animal training at the aquarium from 1999 to 2016. And she tells local media there that she thinks the whale is home and Tokatay might not actually survive this big cross-country trip back to Puget Sound. She says, I have spent 18 years with her, 35% of my life, forming this incredible love and bond with this animal. I don't think the decision to put her back in the Sound is based on what is in her best interest. I feel like it's based on what is in people's best interest and what people think is a virtuous moment, you know, for them to feel good. But it's not looking out for this animal and this individual. Other former trainers and vets are also apparently agreeing with her, saying that this is not a good move, even though there's all sorts of support around the world to bring her back home. So the
and they're
question,
saying, they're saying leave her in the tank.
Yes, it sounds like, yeah, yes. So if this is the last journey this whale makes and she were to die en route, would it be worth it? I've asked Heather to actually join us in this conversation because you have covered the story.
Yeah, and I've talked with the Lummi Nation about it. What's very key here is that everyone agrees no one is going to move the whale unless she's healthy enough. And she gets checked on regularly by veterinarians. Actually, some veterinarians were brought in specifically to care for her at the Seaquarium. So that's a big part of this. She has to be
healthy enough
that she can make the travel. They actually do this quite often with whales. It's amazing. They load them into cargo jets and fly them across the country. So this has been done before. I think what's key also is another thing. She's not going to be just set free in Puget Sound. They're working on, and this has been in the works for a lengthy period of time, a net pen where she will live, and she will have human companions. No one is expecting her, a creature that has had human contact for the better part of her life to suddenly go out with her pod and
make
hang
it
out
on her own.
They bring up Keiko a lot. That was the whale featured in Free Willy. Actually, Keiko, who did die, you know, was not accepted by the pod. That whale was kidnapped is my first instinct, but was taken when he was much younger. Tokatay, they believe, is about 5 years old. And the Lummi tribal member I spoke with says that the whale understands the song of her people. It's played for her, the sounds that whales make under the water. Her pod has a specific song, and she understands that. She reacts to it. But again, no one is thrusting her in Puget Sound to go be on your own, go back with the pod. In addition, they believe that her mother, Tokatay's mom, is still with the pod.
Isn't that crazy?
So there's a familial connection there. But
now Tokatay is Lolita? Is that what she's called now?
Well, that's her stage name.
Yes.
That's her stage name.
So the whale was taken at the age of 5 and forced to perform at the Seaquarium under the stage name of Lolita. Yeah, this has all sorts of
It really does. So now I was, before you started talking, and just as I'm reading this and listening to her former trainer, I'm thinking, well, she makes a good point. You know, and if Lolita or Tokate were to die en route to Puget Sound.
Sure, yeah, we'd all feel bad, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But after getting more of the details,
they're not going to let her make that trip. And also federal...
But they don't know. She's a whale. They don't know exactly what is going to happen.
Though there are veterinarians that had spend their whole lives studying the physiology of whales.
You mentioned Free Willy, which is a very good movie. If anyone hasn't seen it, I think they should watch it. You know another one this makes me think of is Shawshank Redemption. Do you guys remember Shawshank Redemption?
Yes, that is a fabulous movie.
Okay, so there's a character in
Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying.
Get Busy Dying, exactly. There's a character in that whose name is Brooks Hatlin. And he's a really old guy who's lived in Shawshank his entire life. And it's a really tragic, sad story because when he finally gets out, he served his sentence for whatever he did. He was in there for a long time, probably like Lolita or Tokate. And when he gets out, he's been institutionalized, essentially, is what they say.
And
he can't make it on the outside. He doesn't know how to make it on the outside. And unfortunately, something very bad happens that I won't talk about because it's a family radio show. But could that same thing happen? I mean, I think, like you're saying, maybe the trip out, they can say, is going to be safe and they can plan on that. But there's no guarantee that her pod, if they're still around, is going to accept her. And it might put her in a situation where she's suddenly alone in an unfamiliar environment.
Well, I'd love to hear what you all think, because, again, I mean, the trainer is saying one thing, but the Native American tribe and other veterinarians, et cetera, are trying to make sure that there would be a smooth transition.
Right. And there's a larger community that says, look, we get it. She has been, as you said, institutionalized, basically, you know, swimming in what must be like a bathtub to her for a very long time. And there will be people present in her life. There has to be. And there's a recognition that there has to be human contact, that she has to have a limited area and essentially be cared for however long a time she has.
And, does she have?
And given all that, I would rather her be back to Tokate versus Lolita.
Does she have a what do they call it? It's not a dorsal
floppy
fin.
Dorsal?
Is it a dorsal? They call it a dorsal in a whale?
I don't think she has a floppy dorsal. I think
that's the one that bends up. Like Free Willy had one that bent to the side,
they're
right?
They're not doing well.
Heather, thank you.
Anytime,
appreciate
guys.
It. I'm going to squeeze in one more story because I promised it to our listeners.
Yeah.
And it's about this raccoon. So this is in Maine. Apparently a woman in Auburn, Maine brought a raccoon into a local pet store so she could have the raccoon's nails trimmed.
Naturally.
Okay, but it gets even worse. While she was there, several people were handling the raccoon. One person was kissing it.
But would you ever do that? Somebody brings a raccoon, up and you wouldn't be the person nuzzling
absolutely.
It, kissing it.
You would
in
not.
A heartbeat.
Have you seen a baby raccoon?
Oh my gosh, those things are so adorable.
Yeah, that's
they're very cute.
And their nails aren't developed yet enough to where they can just tear you apart.
Yeah, they do have rabies, though. That is a problem.
Someone else called the Maine Warden Service. Someone else called Animal Control. They didn't arrive in time to secure
the manager of Petco called it. And he said, this lady has a raccoon. She shouldn't have baby raccoon. Baby raccoon.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, the reminder, it's illegal to own a raccoon.
Why?
And they have disease.
Okay. The disease part.
The disease.
I get it.
But anyway, okay. On that note, we're going to end this segment, and still ahead, we're going to share your feedback. And, of course, words to live by. This is the G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. It has been a fun, fresh Friday. Thank you so much for all of you hanging out with us throughout the morning. And it is time for us to give your feedback and some of your comments on our topics of the day. And I'm going to give you honors Jake starting off? Oh, wait, I'll start because Chef's going to print out some of these comments. Okay, so let's start with why do the homeless live by different rules? 360 texted in and said they give the homeless more leeway because they can't pay fines and we can. When it comes to electric scooters, one wheels and hoverboards, 425 says, for the love of God, our kids have never been weaker, softer, or fatter. They need to walk, run, pedal, or push. No electric help. That goes for adults as well.
That's all. That's a good point. This is from Jay in Puyallup. My best friend has a one wheel. He ate it on a trail and he sprained his wrist and dislocated his shoulder. They're also very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a case in point right there.
Especially
Mark and
for
Edmonds.
Us adults.
Especially for old people.
Yep.
Mark Edmonds says those one wheels are really cool, but they are very expensive.
Julie B. says, if a man showed up to a date on a unicycle, would you be out?
And the answer for me would be, it depends.
Come on. Answer honestly.
If he showed up on a unicycle,
you're waiting
clearly,
in a restaurant.
He doesn't think I'm going to be on this this form of transportation with him, does
That's
he?
That's true, yeah.
He's not being leaving with
he's
me.
He's not being presumptuous, right? Okay, isn't that worse?
He would give me something to talk. Okay, first of all, I'm not in dating mode, but it would be something to talk about for sure.
Okay. Why do you live like this?
A very short conversation.
And Julie, to be honest, I probably would think maybe there's some dorkiness involved.
Great point, Julie.
Is Seattle over Russell Wilson? Definitely Jake isn't.
That's true. Fernando in Seattle says, Jake is right. Thank you, Fernando. I'm going to root against Russell Wilson forever. All caps, 3 exclamation points. He did us and the Seahawks dirty.
I'm going to repeat what Brian from Arlington said because I agree. I think Russ has been beaten up enough. As long as he tones down that whole social media thing, maybe just give him a break.
Oh, do I read this? This is Tokate's former trainers. I apologize. I'm learning the format. Tokate's former trainers and vets opposed her returning home. Nick says the people who kept this animal in inhumane conditions and forced it to perform for crowds don't want her to have her freedom. Weird.
Doug says, I think it's a bad idea to bring Lolita, the orca whale, return to the Salish Seal because the orca is going to teach the southern orca whales to attack boats.
This next is Aki Kuros Middle School is going remote due to the case of measles, due to a case of measles. Sandy in Olympia says measles can cause blindness, deafness,
encephalitis,
thank you, I couldn't pronounce it, and death. It is highly contagious even before the infected patient knows they have it or exhibits symptoms. It hangs in the air, so somebody coming into the area where the infected person was can catch it.
An influencer made $70,000 in 1 week with an AI version of herself by charging guys $1 a minute to be their girlfriend. Austin in Marysville says, wait, so this AI has how many boyfriends? Is that cheating?
That's a good question. Bears, oh my. Destiny in Seattle says, I had my honeymoon in Yellowstone with my husband. We camped. This was in October with snow on the ground. My husband proceeded to eat a can of tuna fish and sardines. Then he started to go to sleep and the cans in the tent.
I said, no. This
is a grounds for divorce. Are you trying to get attacked by a bear? He braved the snow and took the cans to the car.
Okay, 1 second. Eating sardines in the tent is grounds for divorce.
Yes,
you have to eat
smells.
The sardines outside the tent, period.
Yes.
Forget
like,
the bears.
Seems like he was trying to get something to happen there.
I think that's what she was saying. Like, hello, also eat those smelly things inside my tent. By the way, Jeff, you're going camping this weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Am I worried about bears? No, I'm not worried about bears at all. I have bear spray.
On the high gas prices, good for you. On the high gas prices, 206 says, I was at the Angel of the Winds casino yesterday. Gas was 50 cents a gallon cheaper there. And if you have their player's card, it's an extra dollar off per gallon. So ignoring the... So if you don't pay attention to the $500 that I lost inside the casino, it was a real bargain.
That's a sunny way to look at it. That's true. Why don't most Washington State ferries have reservations? Kirk in Mount Vernon says, we tried the reservations on one of the routes. It's offered in Washington. We show up early, thinking perhaps we could make an earlier boat. They didn't tell us that we boarded our reservation, and we ended up waiting 3.5 hours.
Yikes. And Nat says, commute-based ferries won't work with reservations. Your commuters will absorb all the times. Good point. We have discussed this for years. As Islanders, we would love priority loadings and then do reservations for the rest.
Wild animals as pets, raccoons, the beloved or hated Coach Mike Leach, rest in peace, of WSU, Mississippi, etc., said that they were the best pets. If you cross the best of a cat and a dog, you'd have a raccoon.
Oh, boy. No thanks.
I don't think so.
They're cute. I just like them at a distance. I want to say thank you so much, Jake, for coming in today. It was so much fun. I told you the show went by very quickly.
Super fast. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. We're going to do Words to Live By now, brought to you by Wilcox Farms. And this is actually from listener Dave, who wanted us to remind everybody that this weekend holiday is to remember all of our brothers and sisters who we lost fighting wars, and also our brothers and sisters who we've lost fighting depression and other mental health issues following their years of service. I'm going to add, always on our minds, forever in our hearts. Thank you so much. Take care this weekend. Thank you, Chef, as always, for producing a great show. And thank you, Nick.
Well, I want to go back to yesterday's talk on this weekend's holiday travel, but this time being more focused on the roads and highway gravel, because I know a lot of people like to drive off towards the coast, whether ocean shores or Long Beach, where they light off fireworks the most. So you should know by now to be prepared for those jam-packed pavement. I keep some road trip tunes on hold like this for some entertainment. And that's a wrap for us before this extended weekend. We go off to hide. Have a safe and happy holiday. Now time to be like Russell Wilson. Let's ride.
It sounds a lot better when you say it. Thank you again for a great week. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. Stick around because Cairo Middays with Jack Stein and Spike O'Neill coming up next. This is the G and Ursula Show. Have a good one.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.